Welcome to Chat with Nat, Stories of Faith, Hope, and Love. I'm hoping that the books I've read and the people I've met inspire you as much as they have me. Well, welcome back. We are on episode 12, I believe, if I have my numbers right. And this week we're going to talk about fun with fitness, two words I never thought I'd put in the same sentence. But before we start, I'm going to read you Proverbs 31:17. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. So I have a special guest here today. I have John Hockenberry from Drive Personal Fitness. He is the owner with his wife, Tracy. Welcome, John.
Glad to be here, Natalie. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. How about you tell the audience a little bit about what you do and who you work with?
All right. We own Drive Personal Fitness. I have been in the fitness industry for 36 years. Working with people, individuals, teams, groups. Started just as a trainer in health clubs in Florida. Made my way back north. I'm from Apollo, PA. And
shout out to all the Apollo Ridge group.
Should we sing the alma mater? Should we sing
Apollo?
Nobody needs to hear that, especially on my end. And so it's a passion. It's my hobby. It's a career. The people that I work with are just people like you. They're not trying to win contests or
what does that mean, John?
That's a good question. That means they want to be able to function in life. They want to be able to play with their grandkids. They want to be able to get out of a chair. Yep. They want to be able to go on a vacation and not worry that the walk from through the airport is too much for them. They want to live their life without the imprisonment of poor health. They want to be healthy enough to not have that be a limitation to the things they want to do in life. That's who my clients are.
I like that. And so, speaking of clients, I'm one of your clients.
I proudly admit that.
I might be one of your most challenging clients. He's smiling and shaking his head because he doesn't want you to know that it's true.
Always good for radio, right? Shaking your head and smiling. Gotta get better.
Yeah, so I'm going to give... Everybody who knows me probably already knows this, but when I was in high school, I mean, my whole life, I don't like fitness. I don't like to stand up. I like to sit down. I prefer watching people do fitness instead of doing it. My family, I don't know, my family that I live with now, my husband and my boys, they are really big into fitness, like intense fitness, and I'm just not. So anyway, when I think about high school at Apollo Ridge, John, do you remember Mrs. Darby?
I sure do. I was afraid of her.
Yeah, she was
tremendously.
Scary. So she'd have a clipboard in the Presidential Fitness. Do you remember that?
I remember.
One of them was running a mile around the track. So four laps around the track. And she would say, you had to yell out your lap so she could mark it on her clipboard, right? And so, like, everyone was so much faster than me. I was basically walking. And they'd be on, like, lap four. And so I cheated, and I'd be like, I'm on lap three. And she's like, good time, Natalie. But I was cheating nobody but myself. And you say that a lot when we're working out. Like, sometimes when you ask us to do something and you're not looking, we don't do it.
Right.
And you know.
I know. I do know.
And you always say to us, hey, you're not hurting me. You're hurting yourself.
Right. You know, and how that message, how you receive that message is everything. So I could say that to 20 people, 19, like, I'm okay not to hurt myself today.
It's true. But the point is, I didn't ever like fitness. And in fact, when I was working hard all of those years, I worked at the bank on Main Street, and somebody would say, let's go down and grab pizza at the end of the street. And I'd be like, are we walking? And they'd be like, yes. And I'm like, well, then I'm not going. And I would get in my car and drive down the end of Main Street. That's how bad it was. And so then I had cancer 10 years ago, and my sister Sandy is like, hey, you should start to exercise. And she had been going to you, I don't know how long.
It's been about 15 years.
Yeah, so probably about 5 years prior. And she mentioned that I should come, and I was like, no, I don't like to stand up. But she took me one time, and you made fitness fun. And so, I don't know, he's a comedian. he thinks he's a comedian.
That's a tough one right there. It's like someone announcing that you need to tell them a joke right now. Okay, make me laugh.
That's
not always
easy.
Yeah,
no. But no, you do make it fun and it's quick. And so tell them how we do our exercise in 30 minutes or less. Well, I think that's important.
Listen, exercise is a good analogy I always use is each exercise is kind of a brick. Now, the mortar that holds the wall together is how long am I going to make you do something? What am I going to do after that that maybe is a different muscle or a different energy? So what I basically, how I learned to be efficient, starting out, first 15 years of my career, I realized that the biggest objection people would give me is time. So I was working in corporate wellness, and these people would get 45, 30-minute lunch times, and they wanted to get something done. So I started just creating these different templates, these different versions of workout that were simple, accessible, enjoyable, that had movement inside them in a way that if your knee hurt a little bit, you did an exercise a sort of a different way. So we were very adaptable in that way. But by the sequence and the order, and if you do things really well and you do things correctly, you don't have to be in the gym for 2 hours. So you don't need to have that deterrent in your life. And so, you know, over time, I realized that the people that were spending less time in the gym were actually getting better results. They weren't beating their bodies up. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to quit every 4 months because their two-hour workouts didn't fit into their schedule anymore. And it became sort of the standard. And then I started training athletes that way. And it allows you to participate in a journey. And it makes fitness a process and not just an event. So instead of making it a two-hour workout that you were sore for 8 days, it fits your lifestyle. The time thing works for you. You knew that if you had a bad day and your back was hurting a little bit or your knee was, that I would have an adaptation to make it possible for you. And really, more than anything, it's just listening to people and their objections and their frustrations and the reasons why they've had to quit in the past and making it more accessible to everyone. My oldest client is 87 years old. My youngest is 7. And everything in between.
I don't know. I feel like there's a 2-year-old that's coming.
Well, we do have...
Not official client, but...
Not official. And
John's an entertainer for his mom. Why his mom comes, he entertains.
You know, that is one of the crazy things about... One of the joys in my career is when I look back into the room and I see grandma... And her 2 daughters,
yep.
And one of her daughters is online from, and then I'm holding the grandson, and we're watching Stinky and Dirty on Prime Network.
That's right.
Give that a plug, okay, keeping him entertained. And they're working out together, like grandma and the grandson's watching grandma work out, and the 2 daughters are there using different pieces of equipment and different apparatus. And it's just a really cool, friendly vibe, and that's kind of what makes it fun is you have freedom inside the workout. It's not going to take too long, and we're going to address the fears that you may have about hurting yourself and everything, and you just get comfortable with the journey you're on.
Well, what I like is that I only go twice a week. Sandy, my sister, goes 3 times. I only do 2 because it's 2 more than I was doing before. So I'm happy with that. You made the comment once, and so correct me if I'm wrong or I'm making this up, that your body's still working after you're done with the workout. Is that true?
100%. Exercise is a stimulus. And then how you eat, how you rest, how you manage stress in your life is where improvements come from. So if you work just hard enough, so it's not a no pain, no gain thing. You work hard enough that your body knows it's a little bit harder than it's used to. And then you let it recover and you feed it the right foods and you keep it hydrated. Nothing crazy. You don't have to be on any weird exotic diet.
Right.
And your focus in nutrition should really be on what you put into your body, not what you should avoid.
Right.
Make your nutrition about, I need more vegetables. I need more good protein in my life. But you do those kind of things. One of the things I always say is your success in fitness starts the minute you walk out of the gym away from your instructor, because how you live your life, how you function, how you move through the day, those are the important components of a healthy life.
Yep. So, John, one of the things I do like about your workout is that there are other people in the room with us. Not a lot, but a few. And so Sandy's one of them. And to be honest, when she doesn't show up, sometimes I don't either. So accountability is always important, especially for someone who doesn't have a trainer, right?
100%. And I think the role you want to play in particular is, why don't you decide to be the person who holds the accountability? You know, you're going to be the one that everybody knows is going to kind of show up. And then
he's not literally talking about me. I'm not that person. I am for other things, not for fitness.
But you know what? Next week could be the week where Sandy calls Natalie and says, I don't feel like going in. And Natalie's going to be like,
9 times out of 10, I'll be like, you're right.
Where are we having breakfast?
That's right. But in reality, you were gone, I think it was last week or the week before, and I didn't do anything.
Did you miss it?
I did. I felt very tired, and I felt a little bit bad that I didn't even attempt to do anything.
Does that surprise you?
No.
That you felt that way?
I mean, yeah, like we even said, like, oh, we can't wait for John to come back just because we're going to get up and do something.
Right. But you probably walked.
I walked right. A little bit, but I treated it like a vacation because John wasn't there. But
right.
Like, I mean, in reality, I did walk, but it was harder to do it, like if you just don't have it on the calendar to do.
No, I mean, that's that having that appointment,
yes.
having someone to hold you accountable in the most minimal way. And you mentioned a really good one. I mean, if you exercise on your own, write it somewhere.
Yeah, if you write it on a calendar.
Write it on a calendar. Put it down. Make an appointment with yourself. And you'll be surprised the empowerment that you will feel the first time that you write it down, follow through, and you
check it off the list.
And you finish. And yeah. You might do a horrible job, and it might be only 5 minutes long. It might be 1 minute long.
Uh-huh.
Getting someone to do something a minute, 5 days a week, is the greatest and most profound concept of strength that I could give to anybody.
Because
yep. Then you realize you have the ability to set something, an appointment for yourself, follow through on it. So that a minute can become 2 minutes. So just design the simplest thing, the simplest concept. I'm going to get up and stand up and sit down in my chair five yeah. times in the morning. Something very functional. Just stand up, sit back down. Stand up again, sit back down. And I'm going to do that every day for 5 days in a row. At the end of that fifth day, I want you to connect to that feeling you have about yourself and the confidence and the belief you have that you can do that. So you add a little bit more, and before you know it, you have a habit, and you're in a process, and you don't look at fitness anymore as an outside invader, foreign alien. Instead, you look at it as a part of the good side of your life.
Yeah, no, that's good. I like that, especially for someone who isn't doing anything at this point. Just starting small is important. And so we're gonna, if we see you, we're going to say, did you start anything?
Call you out.
We're going to call you out. Oh, you know what I wanted to talk about a little bit is my bone density. Let's see. I think it was about 3 or 4 years ago. I had a bone density test. It was 4 years ago. I had a bone density test, and my numbers were rapidly decreasing. I'm an osteopena because of the chemo. They were increasing in so much of a rate that they wanted to start me on medicine, and they gave me a couple medicines to choose from, and one of them was going to like hurt my jaw. Even there was that was one of the side effects, is you were going to have jaw pain with it. And I just didn't want to take the medicine. And John, you said that we can build bone strength through working out, which I didn't even at the time know that that was a thing. And so do you want to talk a little bit about how that works? And
the first thing I need to ask you, yes. Natalie, is your bone density better today?
Yeah. So, But so anyway, that was 4 years ago. It was decreasing. I had the test again 2 years later. It was decreasing. And so then John specifically at almost every workout says, you're doing this for your bones. Like, jump. I don't want to jump, John. He says, you need to jump for your bones. And so I had the test, I don't know, was it end of last year or this beginning of this year? I don't know. It was within the last year I had the test. And because of the focus on growing bone strength and workout, the numbers came back that it didn't change at all. And so instead of rapidly getting worse, it stayed the same, which is huge.
In the world of aging, that is improvement.
Yes.
When your bones cease to lose right. density, you are winning.
Yeah. So and that was with no medicine at all. And so that's another reason I show up.
Right.
So well, I don't have to take a medicine that I don't.
That brings me back to a very important point that we talked about, and that's 30 minutes twice a week. Okay? Right. You didn't have to commit to 2 hours, 6 days a week to get there.
Nope.
Okay. You literally, there are 168 hours in a week. Mm-hmm. You took one of those hours that changed the entire dynamic of how your body keeps bone density.
Right. Yeah.
And that's important because if that journey would have taken you, you know, you decided you were going to go crazy and become a marathon runner and spend 3 hours in the gym every day, I think less of us would be able to relate to your decision.
Right, right.
But to think, okay, I'm going to put an effort in. I'm going to learn what type of weight-bearing, impactful movements are going to allow me to build without hurting myself. And, you know, an hour a week. And you did that. So,
yeah.
Kudos to you.
Thanks. To you and to Sandy, who get me there.
Oh. I love having the sisters work out together. They will. Sandy will prod Natalie. Natalie, my favorite Natalie story is when she walks in the door, I write all my workouts on a whiteboard. So they kind of know what's going to happen, how long the workout's going to be, what's in front of them. I'm not one of those, you know, get to 10, 7 more, get to 17, 5 more. I'm not that person. I want you to know exactly what you're in store for so you can connect to what you need to get done. But the first thing Natalie will sort of try to discover on the board is, well, how many times do I get to lie down in this workout? Well, I get to sit there. I get
like
to lie here.
I like to sit and to lay down. I don't like to jump, but John reminds me that jumping helps your bones.
Absolutely. But the fact that she coordinates her lying down, sitting down periods of her workout first. And, hey, that's her motivator.
That just shows that, like, anybody can do it. I'm probably, like, this is my least favorite thing in life is working out, but so worth it. And hopefully it lasts, you know, the stuff I'm putting into right now lasts till I'm older.
Well, it should because A, it doesn't consume too much of your time.
Mm-hmm.
B, you're able to meet your body where it is in terms of abilities. And that's on any given day.
Right.
Good day, bad day, we make the adjustments necessary. And you, anyone can do that. Just sort of limit your range of motion. If you lift an 8-pounder, lift a 5-pounder, anything of that nature gives you more control of the workout and you feel more confident that you'll be able to do whatever needs to be done on that particular day. And that's an important concept in place.
All right. And Ben and I were actually just talking this week about, like, we're going on vacation for like almost 2-3 weeks. And we're like, what are we going to do? We're not going to be working out. We're not going to want to. And I said, I said this, believe it or not, we can't do that. We can't not work out for 3 weeks. We'll be doing a lot of walking. But we were like, maybe John could give us a few little things to do while we're away that require no equipment.
Right.
And I know you occasionally will do a workout that's just all body.
Yes.
How do you describe that?
Yeah, body weight workouts, just using different, you know, different body, different positions, different muscle groups, getting on the ground, getting off the ground, just creating energy and using our bodies as they were meant to be used in terms of, you know, rotating and standing up. It's not complicated stuff. It's not hard stuff. It creates its own energy just because you're in this perpetual state of motion. And I have a lot of online clients that have very little equipment to train from their homes. And that's all they know. And they're healthy and strong. And their workout is just as important to them and is just as valuable as those who go to 10,000 square foot gyms. So
yeah, no, I like the simplicity of it. And then also, like, water is important, correct?
Right.
Keep our bodies hydrated all day, every day, right?
Muscle is comprised of 70% water.
Yeah.
So hydration, we look at it as a I'm thirsty, I'm not thirsty kind of thing. But the mechanisms of the body run on a properly hydrated system much better.
Right.
So your muscles work better, your neurology is better, like your brain sends better signals, your blood is better. So being hydrated, and that's just so simple.
Right.
But it's so important.
All right. I love this. So I'm thinking about a sermon that I heard in church a few years back. He talked about, like, say you borrow your friend's truck, okay? What do you do with that truck? You're very careful with it, right? You don't want to put any dents in it. You treat it very nice, and hopefully you do, and you return it nice. And he talked about our bodies. You know, our bodies are, they're rented, basically. Like, they're not ours. They're God's. He gave them to us. And so just like we would treat our neighbor's truck very kindly, that these bodies of ours, we should treat kindly as well. Would you agree with that, John?
100%. You will go through life and you will have many cars, many houses.
Yep.
The one vessel that is constant, the one vessel that is always with you, no matter how much money you have or don't have, no matter where you are, the one vessel that you cannot escape is your body. So why not have it feel good, be effective for you, and allow it to do the things you want to do? Why not take care of it as a priority instead of prioritizing all these other endeavors?
Yep.
Because I've worked with people that are very well-to-do that when their body breaks down, none of that other stuff matters.
That's right.
And so giving it that type of priority and commitment it's too easy, it's too important, and it doesn't make sense to not prioritize it.
Thank you so much for coming, John. I would love to have you back again because this is one of the areas, again, that I need the most help in. And so I just appreciate you and thank you for coming and speaking with us today.
It's an honor and a pleasure. I enjoy talking to people about fitness. Like I said, it is my hobby. So when I'm on vacation, I'm looking at fitness books. I'm creating workouts. You know, it is my passion, and, you know, I get paid for it. But if I didn't get paid for it, I would have the same approach, and I would do the same thing all over again.
I love it. Thank you again for coming. 1 Corinthians 6, 19-20. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor your bodies. It is my prayer that whoever hears this today understands what gift our bodies are, and that we honor God by taking care of them. Let us take the next step to prepare so that when an opportunity comes our way, our arms are strong for whatever God has assigned to us. I'll talk to you soon.